Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. And today we're going to continue our study in Mark's Gospel in chapter 8. Jesus has just fed 4,000 people, taking 7 loaves and multiplying them so that a great crowd is satisfied. But Jesus is always concerned to touch the heart of people. He comes to Bethesda and some people bring a blind man and they beg Jesus to touch him. This is a very interesting story because we see again how Jesus is going to handle the situation in a very unconventional way. He takes the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Notice he led him outside the village. In other words, he's going to do something which he believes is necessary, but it's not necessarily something to do in a public way to draw attention and make a scene. He spits on the man's eyes and puts his hands on him and says, do you see anything? And the man says, well, I see people. They look like trees walking. And once more, Jesus puts his hand on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened. This gradual healing, it's not so gradual because it's happening on the same day, but it's not an instant healing. A second touch from Jesus brings about the restoration of the man's sight. And it's just interesting that perhaps the shock of being able to see bright sunlight suddenly bursting in on a man who's not seen, that's going to be very, very demolishing. It's just going to be a shattering thing. So the wisdom of Jesus in bringing him through slowly is very considerable. After this, Jesus goes to villages around Caesarea Philippi, and he's asking the question, who do people say I am? Basically, Jesus is getting a little bit of feedback. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, one of the prophets. But then Jesus says to the disciples, well, you give me a general answer, but now let's be specific. Who do you say that I am? And this is when Peter comes out with the answer, you are the Messiah. And what Jesus does here is that he's obviously pleased. We find that in another gospel account. He's very pleased at Peter's revelation and understanding that he truly is the Messiah. But Jesus straight away wants to teach his disciples that the road ahead is going to be a tough road. He's going to suffer, he's going to be rejected, he will be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Now Peter, who's the one who had the revelation, he's very quick to respond and say, no, Lord, that can't possibly be true. And that's when Jesus comes with a very strong rebuke. Get behind me, Satan. Satan, this is Peter. But no, he says Satan, because he knows that just as a revelation of who he is can come through the human mouth and come from God, the sort of attitude which is saying you can't go to the cross comes from Satan. This is Satan's strategy to try to make Jesus believe he can achieve things without the cross. But just to underline what Jesus is saying is he turned round and says, and you too are going to have to deny self and take up the cross and follow me. If it's true for me that I need to go to the cross, even though I am the Messiah, that doesn't alter the fact I must go to the cross. Well, you too, walking with me, following me, you'll have to deny self and lay down your life. And he gives the hope that those who make that decision to put him first, that in glory the Father will recognize them. We must leave it there. We're going to have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me to look over these remaining verses in Mark chapter 8.
into the darkest corners of my life, Lord. Shine your light, let every sin in shadow be made known. For you are righteous, your love, your grace, your mercy.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at these verses from Mark chapter 8, from 22 to the end. So we start with another healing, and the method is quite similar to the one we saw a little while ago in Mark chapter 7, I think it was, where he healed a deaf and mute man in this very physical kind of way, spitting and everything. Is that odd that Jesus should use this kind of method?
Well, he certainly didn't use it consistently, but nevertheless, he did use it. And I really don't know for sure quite why he did that. But it has to do, perhaps, again, with the sense of a sensation that the blind man cannot see, and therefore he is going to feel something. And undoubtedly, this is stimulating his faith, because he'll be asking the question, well, why are my eyes now feeling wet?
Yeah.
And it's because the healing is going to happen.
We see an awful lot of detail, don't we, in the Gospels. Some of these events are are recorded in quite some detail, like this business about, you know, seeing the trees walking. And you wonder why the writers put that kind of detail in.
Well, I believe this detail is to emphasise the wisdom of healing, that much as we want an instant healing, sometimes the body needs to come together. Things have been broken, things have been damaged. And I believe in terms of sight, the healing process is being demonstrated, that he could have made the man see absolutely instantly, but the adjustment that was necessary from a life of blindness to a life of seeing meant there was wisdom and this taking just a little time.
Yes, interesting. Then in the next little section, we have Peter confessing that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. How important was it, do you think, that Peter came to this recognition?
Well, it was vital because there would have been many claiming that the Messiah was coming. There would have been those who perhaps had given up thinking that a Messiah was coming. But for Jesus to be the Messiah and recognised by Peter just meant that Peter knew that the prophecies were being fulfilled. What God had said he would do is being done. And this was paving the way for Jesus' ministry.
Then in the last little section from verse 31, the tone changes, doesn't it, quite dramatically, because Peter suggests that that Jesus shouldn't suffer. And Jesus responds quite strongly, "Get behind me, Satan."
That's right. I think that Jesus was just showing us that when something comes from the devil, we must not entertain it in the slightest. This is the dynamic that's at work here. There's a satanic element that's trying to find its way into the situation, and Jesus is stamping on it ruthlessly, absolutely immediately. He's not going to listen to that.
And then finally, self-denial. It's something that, you know, we as human beings are not terribly good at sometimes, and yet Jesus is saying, this is something you must do.
Yes, indeed. And it's really because we live in a body of flesh that has appetites and desires that often contradict what the spirit needs and what God is wanting to do. And we're ever going to have to crucify the flesh. We're ever going to have to say no to sin in order to get the benefits that Jesus wants to give us. And that's what he talks about here.
Okay, Richard, there we must leave it. Thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at Mark's Gospel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.